3 this morning. Last week we introduced a new series, and no, we're not going to do it week after week, but we are going to do it a number of times throughout the year. It's talking about the great questions of the Bible, and here we have a new question that we're going to consider, and for our theme this year is the word consider. And when God asks us a question or asks a person a question in the Bible, he wants them to consider something. Remember what we learned last week, that when God asks the question, he's not trying to gain knowledge. God is all knowledge. He already knows everything already. But when he asks the question, he wants that individual to consider a truth. And many times that truth is something that that person needs to learn about themselves or something that they need to learn about God. Last week, for instance, we looked at the story of Sarah and how God talked about how she was going to have a child at 90 and how she laughed within herself, not believing, once again, at 90 years old, you're not humanly possible to have children at that point in time. And God asked this question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And that he wanted Sarah to think about that. And we thought about all the different wonderful things that God had done in the Bible, all the supernatural things that God had done throughout the scriptures to show that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So he was revealing to Sarah something about himself. And then later on last Sunday night, very similar, is there anything too hard for the Lord, was mentioned in the story of Jeremiah when God asked Jeremiah to buy a piece of property that was going to be worthless because of the coming captivity of the nation of Israel. And God was revealing something about Jeremiah to himself. Hey, look, just trust in me. So one was there with a lack of faith. Another one where Jeremiah was just asking for leadership and guidance. God, why are you allowing this to happen? And God was saying, you can trust in me by saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And in the story this morning, it's about the story of Adam. Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are hiding amongst the trees, and they've come to this spot in this moment and realize, how in the world did you get there, Adam and Eve? I think about this in my own life. Have you ever been in a moment and you're surrounded by people or surrounded by circumstances, and you think this, how did I ever get here? I don't belong here. I remember when I was probably 20 or 21 years old, a friend of mine was getting married. He was a junior high friend. I went to school with him probably all the way up to 6th, 7th, 8th grade. He was getting married, so he asked me to come over to his house that night, and they were having a celebration with a bunch of guys, and some people call it a bachelor party. He said, well, it's not going to be nothing like that. And he said, and we were there, and I was sitting there. And when I was sitting there, I've never drank, and I'm not bragging. It was only by the grace of God. I've never smoked, and I've never done things like that. I grew up a little bit differently than that. I always grew up in church. I always made that promise to God a long time ago. But I was sitting there, and amongst probably about 10 different guys, 9 of them I knew, these are guys I went to school with, but they decided to go to a different school, their senior high years, 9th through 12th grade, and they were pretty much all drinking, and some of them were smoking, and some were cursing. And God, when I was there, and they were just there having a good time, they weren't doing anything immoral like some people do, and God just brought something to my heart and my mind and says, what are you doing here? And I look around at all the different things. It's sort of like Peter by that fire. He's there warming his hands, and he's there denying Christ. And he's like, how in the world did Peter end up there? And there's a lot of different moments like that in the Bible. I think about Jonah. I'm like, Jonah had to wake up in that whale and look around and see where he was at and say, how in the world did I get here? And what in the world led up to this? And there's a lot of different characters. I think about Samson there as he's turning that wheel for the wheat, and his eyes have been plucked out, his hair has been cut at the end of his life, and he's there, and he's just, obviously he can't look around, but he's there, and he's just wondering, man, what am I doing here? And here, I can only imagine in Adam's heart, while he's there and he's hiding amongst the trees, he's sitting in God's perfect garden, no sin. Oh, praise the Lord, at least up to that point. No sickness, no viruses, no coronavirus, no flus, no fighting. A husband and wife that never fights. And no kids around either. Isn't that perfect? So, It was a joke. But at the same time, in God's perfect garden, they sinned, and God comes to meet with them, which we believe he regularly did. And he calls out to them. And Adam hides himself amongst a bunch of trees, and God asks this question, where art thou? And today I'd like to ask that question, But I'd like for you to think about it from God's perspective. Where are you at in your Christian life? And I know at the beginning of the year, we talk about considering Christ. It always begins with considering Christ. Consider who he is, consider what he's done. And once you understand who he is and what he's done, we should consider what he wants us to do with our lives. We talk about considering our waves, talk about considering our ladder. And we spent a few weeks talking about, are we drawing closer to God or are we going farther away from him? So today, I'd like to take a little bit of inventory where you're at maybe in your Christian life. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all the stories are bad. Not all the stories are like Elijah, and they're sitting underneath that juniper tree asking God, hey, just take me. I'm done. You know, some of the stories are really good. You know, Joseph could sit up on the throne in Egypt and look around and say, boy, look where I'm at. Man, what did God do? That was something that was a huge, how did I get here? It's because I held on to the truth and God blessed. It could be Elijah calling fire down from heaven. I mean, there's a lot of different good circumstances. Peter up there at Pentecost preaching, how did you get there, Peter? All those different things. But where are you at in your Christian life today? Where are you at in your spiritual life? Because I'm there and I'm seeing Adam amongst a bunch of trees trying to hide from God and God coming to him and saying, where art thou? I shared with my Sunday school class this morning, just for a second, that as studying, the one thing that God helped me in this series that we're going to be doing throughout the year is when God's asking this question, he's not doing it out of anger. He's not coming to knock a person over the head. You know, sometimes we might do that. Sometimes, especially with one of my sons, he takes a little while to learn things, and sometimes he's a little bit of a hard head. And don't after church ask me which one. You guys already know which one it is. And sometimes, you know, when you, what were you thinking? And I'm asking questions. I know what the answer was. You weren't thinking, but I want him to realize he wasn't thinking. And sometimes, did you do that? And I know the answer is yes, he did do that, but I want him to think, but I'm not always doing it in a kind, sweet spirit. Now, most times, yes, but sometimes. But when God's coming to us and God's asking these questions like, where art thou? You know, lovest thou me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God's asking questions to individuals to reveal something about themselves, to themselves, or he's asking them a question to reveal something about him that the person needs to learn. And here in this story, he's speaking to Adam, but I believe, can you imagine how God's heart is broken here? This creation, did he know he was going to sin? Obviously, in his foreknowledge, he did. But at the same time, his heart was still broken when he sinned. Same thing with us when we know our child might fall or our child might do wrong sometimes. It's still, at the same time, our hearts are broken when our child does wrong. So God is coming and God is asking this question. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear people, even commentators, say, he's speaking in this big booming voice or he's speaking with this authority. And I think God's heart is broken when he's saying, where art thou? God knows about the sin. God knows exactly where. And how foolish is Adam sitting there trying to hide from God who created him, created the trees, and he's hiding amongst the trees. So this morning, I like to consider three different things. First, consider where you are. Second thing, consider how you got there. And the third thing, I'd like you to consider how it's going to impact your future. First thing is consider where you are. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 3, and let's start in verse number 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, and the eyes of them both were open. Who are they referring to? Them as Adam and Eve, after they partook of the fruit they were not supposed to eat of. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Verse number 12, the Bible says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, to be with me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege to share your word, to share some truths. And Lord, we don't want to just be here for a show. We don't want to be here just to check off a list that we've done something. Lord, we want to meet with you. We want you to speak to every person's heart in here, young or old, or a person who knows you or a person that maybe doesn't know you. And Lord, help us to see where and take a true inventory of where we are at in our Christian lives, or if the fact that we don't even know you as a believer or as a savior. And Lord, as we do that, let's also consider some of the things, Lord, that got us to this place, whether it's if we're in a good spot or whether maybe we could be doing better. And Lord, help us to really take an honest look at what it's going to look like in the future if we continue down this route. Let us learn from this story. Let us learn from the heart of God while you ask questions and trying to help and trying to encourage and trying to teach. And Lord, let us learn what you want for each of us today. Lord, I pray you limit distractions. I pray that everybody not let things bother them in their hearts or their minds and focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So you come back to this passage of scripture and you see it. To me, it seems kind of foolish. I tried to picture a little bit this week of what it was like where Adam and Eve, they're there. And it says in verse number 7, their eyes of them were both were open and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. So to go back over that, you think about Adam and Eve, they're over here, they're amongst trees, and they got fig leaves. And you can imagine how silly they are. And they're there, and they're trying to hide from the presence of God, and they're think about some of the things that are going on. First, he said he was afraid. And, you know, what is he afraid of? Is he afraid that God's going to get rid of them, strike them dead? I think that word afraid obviously is truth, but also not only is he afraid, he's ashamed. They've done something wrong. They're there and they're ashamed of right where they're at in that moment in time. Can you consider what it would have been like to be like Adam and Eve and you're there and you're hiding amongst the trees. God is calling out to you and you're thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I here amongst these trees? Why am I wearing fig leaves? Why am I ashamed to talk to the God who created me? Why am I, he's someone who I fellowship with on a regular, how in the world did I get here? And I think sometimes if we would take an honest look at our lives and an honest look at spiritual things and even financial things and emotional things and just where we were at in life, and we took a look around and say, man, I have no idea how I got here. And sometimes it's good things, like I said. And sometimes it's like, man, things are just falling apart. What caused that? So I want you to consider today what it would have been like for Adam and Eve sitting here amongst a bunch of trees, ashamed, not knowing what God was going to do, even blaming one another. You ever been there before in a spot and something's gone bad, something's gone wrong, you're ashamed, you're not happy, you wish things were different, you wish things could be different, and you're there and you're confronted with the sin, you're confronted with the problem. And the first and the quickest and the easiest thing to do is blame the person next to you. And it's, they made me do it, or he made me do it, or the serpent made me do it. They're there, and so I want you to ask yourself this question, right where you're at today, yes, you're there. Now, are you blaming somebody else for your issues and your problems? Now, could it be somebody else's fault? Did Adam have a little bit of a, you know, well, Eve's the one that maybe, but not really. He could have said no. And it's funny, if you read that, the first thing he says to God is, the woman which thou gavest me to be with, or something like that. He tries to blame God, first of all. I mean, think about it. He has the audacity. He's sitting there with fig leaves around him, sitting in amongst the trees, trying to hide from God. I mean, how foolish is that? And then he says, you know, well, that woman that you gave me, he's saying, God, it's your fault. If you had never gave me that wife, then I wouldn't have that problem. And that might seem foolish, but how many of us are sitting in that spot and we're looking around the circumstances and we're saying, God, why did you let this happen to me? God, how could you let me? It isn't God. There is something that has led up to the moment where you're at and the spot where you're at in this life. There are circumstances that have caused the reactions that have happened that made you right where you're at today. And yes, God could allow some of the circumstances to happen, especially if the as good like Joseph sitting on the throne of Egypt and helping the world, or if it's like David holding Goliath's head, or it's like Elijah calling, yeah, we can see God in all those things. But I'm talking about when you're in a mess, when you wish things were different, when you think things should be different, and you think things should be changed, and God's coming to you and saying, "Where art thou?" He wants Adam to think, "Well, I'm in these trees. I'm sitting here, and no longer am I in the, you know, have that, you know," when he says they were naked and they realized they were naked, I wonder, you know, what it was like for them. And, you know, that's all speculation, but he says, "I'm covered in fig leaves. I've done wrong. I'm afraid. I'm ashamed. I don't even want to own up to myself. I'm going to blame my wife. Where art thou?" And that's what God's saying to him. God knows exactly where he's at. God knows that he ate the fruit. God knows that he's going to blame Eve. God knows that Eve's going to blame the serpent. So why would God ask that question? Why wouldn't God just go over and pick Adam and Eve up and drop them where they need and just yell at them? He wants Adam and Eve to learn something. He wants Adam and Eve to grow from this. He wants Adam and Eve to reveal something about themselves and to reveal something about himself. He wants them to think about where you are today. Where is it? Is it where God wants you to be? And the obvious answer for Adam and Eve is no. This was not the intended purpose. This is not why God made the garden. This is why not why God made the tree and says, "Hey, don't eat of that fruit." None of that is true. So they're there, ashamed, afraid, blaming one another, hiding in the trees. So we would all agree that's not the good spot. So that's the first thing. Where are you at today? In your life, where are you at? And then once again, you can look at financial things and you can look at physical things, but mostly we're looking at spiritual things. And because of the spiritual decisions we make do affect the financial and do affect the physical and do affect the emotional, all that is encompassed together, obviously. But Adam and Eve have made a mistake and God's coming to them. Where art thou? He's not saying that because he needs some help finding them. It's sort of like when somebody's playing hide go seek and you're like, "Hey, where are you at?" Now, God doesn't need that. He wants Adam to consider where he is at. And I think it'd be good if we would consider where we're at spiritually today. The second thing is, not only consider where you're at spiritually, because some of us say, "Yeah, Pastor, I know I'm away from the Lord." Or, "Pastor, I'm right where God wants me. He's blessing me." Or, "Yeah, I'm in a mess." But how did you get there? And I think that's important to remember. It's not just, "Hey, why is he over there? Why is he ashamed? Why is he afraid? Why is he questioning and blaming everybody else, questioning and blaming God and blaming, what's going on here? How in the world did this ever happen?" And for that, let's go back to verse number one. Here in chapter number three, verse number one, consider where you are, but consider how you got there. It's important to remember how you got where you're at. What things cause you to be where the moment you're at. And here, most of us know the story a little bit. It's in Genesis chapter number three. We see the serpent persuading Eve to eat of the fruit. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So how did it get to this moment in the spot? It began by the devil persuading, convincing. You know, you can't say a devil made me do it, because the devil didn't make you do anything. That Eve could not say that. But what she did, what he did do is, he got Eve to question God. How did they end up over here? Well, over here, they began to listen to the lies of the devil. They began to listen to the devil, began to tell lies about God. Look what it said there in verse number one. "Yea, hath God said." So what the devil is saying to Eve is, "Hey, look, Eve, did God really tell you that you're not allowed to eat of any of the trees, not to eat of every tree of the garden? Yea, hath God said." The devil begins to question Eve and said, "Did God really mean that when he said it?" Now, Eve, remember, you didn't even hear this. This commandment was given to Adam. You just heard it from Adam. Are you sure you can trust Adam? Did God really say you couldn't eat of every tree of the garden? And that's what the devil does. The way that many people end up in the mess that they're in today is because they begin to believe the lies of the devil. And when the devil begins to question them and said, "Yea, hath God said." He'll come across and say, did God really say this in his word? Did God really mean what he said in his word? And let me, a little side note here. If God said in his word, guess what? God meant it. God wants you to follow it. God wants you to obey it. God's not about playing games. Sometimes we might not understand everything the scriptures is saying to us, and that's thankfully for the Holy Spirit. God leads us and guides us into all truth. But if God said he meant it, when God said, hey, do not take of that fruit, you know what? He meant it. There was going to be problems. So how did they get there? They believed the lie of the devil. Let's keep on going. So he gets her to begin considering, well, did God really say this? The woman responds, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She's standing up for God. Hey, yes, of course we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't see where she adds the scriptures here. You know, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You know, those are things that God has said they were not allowed to eat of it. Now she's adding to scripture, and that's always a problem. But the serpent responds back. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he goes from getting her to consider whether or not God truly said something to calling God an outright liar. No. God is lying to you about that. Now, would any of us believe that God would lie to us? Of course not. That would be foolish to think God's going to lie to me. But how many times has God given us, you shall reap what you sow? And how many times has God given us, if you do this, this is going to happen, and we choose not to believe it? We would never say, God, you're lying. No. We get in the mess because of the fact we begin questioning what God says, and then we say, well, maybe God really didn't mean that. Maybe God meant something else. Maybe God's lying about that. Let's keep on going. Because the reason why they got in the mess was because they believed in the lies that the devil had told. And continues on in verse number 5. And then he says, he begins to question God's intention. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so what now the devil is saying to Eve, he says, look, God knows if you ate that fruit, you're going to turn out to be just like him. You're going to turn out to be something better, that God is holding something back from you. Not only is God maybe not even meant what he says, and maybe God's not telling the truth here, but God is holding something back from you. If you eat of that fruit, you're going to experience something like you've never experienced before. And he tries to convince her. And the reason why many times people are over here in the midst of the trees in a shameful manner and afraid and messed up is because they believe God's trying to keep something from them. They believe that I'm going to have to step out of God's will to be able to experience life to its fullest. Because God says I can't have this, then he just doesn't want me to have everything that my heart's desire. That's how people end up in a mess over there. And I don't know about your own lives, but there have been times in my life where I've sat and I've thought, well, maybe, hey, why can't I experience this? Why can't I be a part of this? Why can't I do this or that? And I end up in a mess and I turn around and say, well, how in the world did I get here? It's because I began questioning God. I began believing the lies of the devil. I began to think that God was holding back on me. And let me tell you, God is a God that loves us, and God, that he gives us everything that we need to succeed, and he is not going to hold anything back from those that are righteous that they need and that will help them. He's not going to hold anything back from you. He's not going to say, hey, you can't have that. That's going to help you. God would never do that. And you continue on. You see here, not only does he begin to question the intentions of God, he also begins to question the protection that God has. Look, keep on going. And when the woman, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we see here, we start off also back here, verse number 7. That's where we start off at. How did they end up over there? Well, they began to question God. They began to believe the devil's lies, and the devil's lies will always cause you to question God, question God's word, and it's a quick attack in there. It says, well, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Do you know that God's holding things back from you? Isn't that what many times people try to attract you with? Hey, if you go to that church, you believe that Bible, you do those things. Hey, they don't believe in things like alcohol, and they don't believe in things like drugs, and they don't believe in having a good time. They don't believe in, and they talk about all these things that you're not supposed to have. They're just holding back from you. The truth is relative, is what many people will tell you today. But I tell you, if you're sitting here and you're sitting in this mess today, is because many times we believe the lies of the devil, and we question God, question God's word, question God's motives, and we wonder whether or not God really has our best interests at heart. Now, God has saved us. God has sent his son to die for us. God has given us this world. We're only here because God created us. All those different things, but we're wondering whether or not God's best. Of course God has our best intentions at heart. That's why God's coming to Adam and says, where art thou? He says, Adam, I want you to get a clue. I want you to think you're in a mess today because you believe the lies of the devil. Now stop believing the lies of the devil and start following after me. Now, the third thing is, not only did where are you at and how you got there, consider what it means for your future. Now, there is consequences. God promised them that there was going to be consequences, and there's consequences that happened. Let's go back now to this spot where we stopped at. We'll go to verse 13. It says, and the Lord said unto the woman, once again, they're blaming each other. Adam just blamed the woman. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then he begins to continue on talking about punishment here. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will, and so you see the punishment for the serpent. And now you see the what cause of what happened because of the sin that happened here, what the punishment to the lady. He says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then he turns and looks at Adam and said unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know God, and good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, here's a couple things I want you to think about. Their decisions now has consequences. Remember, the decisions we make is going to determine our direction. Because of this mess that they're in, you see what God, see what has to happen. Number one, you see what happens to the serpent. Number two, you see what happens to the lady. Number three, you saw what happened to Adam. Things became much harder. Things became much tougher. Now they have to leave the garden. They are gone. They're no longer to be able to be in the garden. Now they have to go work for everything that they have to do. Remember, the decisions they made determined the direction they were going. Thing I want you to see here also is found in verse number, I believe it's 15. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And it's talking about the seed of a woman, talking about Jesus coming and bruising the head of the serpent, talking about how he was going to defeat the devil at the cross. There's things in here. You see, God still loves him. God's not saying, okay, let's get rid of them. Let's start with a new creation. Let's keep on trying until the right person comes along that doesn't need the fruit. He doesn't do that. He cares for them. But he says to him, where art thou? Adam, think about where you're at. Now, because you made this choice, these are the consequences of these choices. But I'm not going to leave you to yourself. There's still going to be someday a redeemer. Someday there's going to be a savior. Someday there is someone who's going to overcome and conquer the death and conquer grave and conquer the hell. It's that day, and that's Jesus is coming. So because of all those things, yes, there's consequences. Yes, you're in a bad spot, but there is still hope. There's still truth. There's still mercy to have. There's still grace to be had. And what a wonderful story for us. Even though we might be in a bad spot, even though we might be figuratively hanging out in the trees, blaming our mate, blaming God, blaming others. Maybe we are in a bad spot, but there's still mercy and there's still truth and there is grace to be had for those that would ask. You don't have to stay there. Adam and Eve, yes, they had to leave the garden because of the consequences, but God still was there with them. God was still willing to help them. God was willing to be whatever it is that they wanted him to be. He taught them about the coats and the skins, and there's so many things in the chapter you could talk about the shedding of blood and how he clothed them that way. But God is teaching them and showing them the truths that are found, and you can have a relationship with him still, even after you mess up. So here's some things to think about. Number one, where are you at spiritually? Where are you today? How's your Bible reading? How's your praying? How's your soul winning? How's your faithfulness to church? How's your relationship with your families? How's your relationship with people at work? All those different things. How's your relationship with God? And so where are you? Now, some of us might be being completely blessed by God because we're exactly where God wants us and we're in a spot and we know I'm right where I'm at. Then go back and remember how you got there and praise the Lord for it. Be thankful for that. But for many of us that are there and have struggled before in the past, and we just turn around and look around and say, how in the world did I get here? I'm in a big mess, and I don't really know what to do. I don't really know what to say. Go back and remember how you got there. Well, Pastor, I don't remember. Believe me, if you can sincerely go before God and if you can sincerely and humbly go before God and say, God, I see that my marriage is in a mess. I see that my kids are in a mess. I see that my spiritual life isn't wreaking havoc. It's in a mess. God, how do I get here? It's going to go back to over here and believing some of the lies of the devil at some point in time. It's going to go back when you began to question God or go back and think, well, does God really have my best interest at heart? Did God really mean for me to do this or not? You know, if you're over here and you're struggling, then consider where you're at, but remember how you got there. God will help you with that. And remember, hey, if I'm in a mess, what is my future going to look like? Because the decisions you make today are going to determine your direction for tomorrow. But praise the Lord, you can always grow closer to God. You can always remember that in those long lists of consequences and punishments, God puts in there, you know what? There's a day coming where he's going to bruise his head. There's a day coming that Christ is going to come and he's going to die for the sins of mankind and he's going to rise again and he's going to get people away to heaven. But today, the question is, where art thou? God is asking this with a broken heart and he sees you sitting there and he's saying, what are you doing there? I remember there's another time in the Bible that God goes to Elijah and said, what doest thou here? Elijah has just called fire down from heaven, and he has killed the prophets of Baal and killed all the false prophets that were there, went and heard from Jezebel, and Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he runs underneath a juniper tree and says, "Now just go ahead and take me, Lord. I'm not any better than my father's good." And the Lord comes to him and says, what doest thou here? What in the world are you doing here? You don't belong here. I got a plan. I got a purpose for you. Now get up and go do something for the Lord. And he provides his physical needs. He provides the rest he needs. He does. He provides everything he needs. But he says, what are you doing here? And so when he goes to Adam and says, where art thou? He's saying, Adam, consider where you're at. This is not where you belong. This is not where you should be. This is not where I created you to be. I desire something more. I desire something better for you. And I believe many times if he goes to our hearts and says, what are you doing here? Where art thou? This is not where I want you at. I got something different for you, something better for you, something that I can bless, something that I can use, something I can help make a difference in the world with. That's where I want you at. What are you doing here? So where are you at? And how did you get here? And how's it going to affect your future? Now, you think about it. Okay, Pastor, it's my future. Why should I care? Well, Adam and Eve, not only did it affect their future, it affected all our futures, right? The sin nature has been passed down from generation to generation through Adam and Adam's seed. It wasn't just, well, it's just me, myself. No, your kids, your grandkids, all those different things. You can't control what happens with them, obviously, but you can control what's happening with you. You can control whether or not you're going to be hiding amongst the trees, ashamed and afraid and blaming other people and blaming God. Or you can say, you know what? I want to get up where I'm at, and I want to return back to God. You say, that sounds something like the Bible. It does, because the prodigal son looked around and saw what? He looked around one day, finally came to himself, says, what am I doing here? I'm going to go up and I'm going to go return to my father. And so when we look around our hearts and we look around our lives and say, what am I doing here? This is not where God wants me. This is not the place where God wants me. I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not doing what God's called me to do. My family's not doing what God's called me to do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to return back to the Father. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to turn to Him. I'm going to believe in Him. I'm going to put my trusting in Him. So where art thou today? Great questions of the Bible. God's not coming to you in a condemning mode and saying, what are you doing there? And that's what we would do to our kids. Get out of there! And that's how we would talk. But with a loving, broken heart, seeing what He has intended for your life, what He has saved you for, what He desires for you, He looks at you and says, what are you doing here? This is not where I want you. Or where art thou? And you just turn around and say, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So for a few moments today, consider how your family life's going. Yes, you can blame your mate. That's the easy thing to do. But consider your role in the marriage. Consider your role in the house. And see where you're at. Remember how you got there. Yeah, you can blame somebody else. Adam and Eve did. It didn't help them, but they can. Consider where you are spiritually. You can think of your Bible reading, your serving, your giving, your soul winning, your praying, all those different things. Consider where you are at in life today. And God's coming to you and say, okay, what are you doing there? God, this is where you want me. Great, I'm going to bless you. But most times, there's usually something that we can say, I could do a little better here. Don't push it off. Don't believe the lies of the devil saying, God doesn't really care about that. Or God doesn't, it's just trying to hold back some fun from you. It's just not the truth. Consider God in a loving, kind heart saying, what are you doing here today? Where are you? Now, that is intended for people who know God. That's intended to help people understand where they're at in their spiritual life. Say, Pastor, I am not a Christian. I don't know if I die today that I would go to heaven. Or there's a whole different direction you're headed towards. The Bible says that there's two ways. Everybody's going one of two directions. They're even going to heaven, or they're going to a horrible place called hell. All of us were on that way to hell, the Bible says. And then Jesus Christ came down to this world to die for the sins of mankind. And He was crucified on the cross, buried, and rose again. And the only thing that's powerful enough to take you off that road from hell, put you on the road to heaven, is Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. Nothing else can do that. Your works cannot do that. Your parents can't do that for you. Your grandparents can't do it. Only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it doesn't really matter where you're at in your life. It matters that you know where you're going. The most important decision you can say is, hey, I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I need to turn my life over to God. I need to turn to Him and put my faith and trust in Him. This morning, if you're not sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible from the Scriptures and show you how you can be saved on your way to heaven. But to those in the room to say, Pastor, I know I'm on my way to heaven, let me encourage you with this. Ask yourself this question. Where are you today? Have God come to you and say, hey, where are you? What are you doing here? Is it where God wants you to be? If not, be like the prodigal son that says, you know what? There's something better for me. The Father has something better for me. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to return to the Father. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a